Sean Monahan seems to have really dealt well with the notoriety that comes with being a first-round draft pick. Wearing number 23 as a sweater is a pretty good indicator. He's thought of very highly by the team. What has struck you about him since you got to know him a little better after the draft?
Well, again, I think he's a very he's a mature young man. He's very focused. He knows what he wants. He's been focused on being an NHL player. No question about his maturity. And, you know, we thought he demonstrated that throughout the season this last year, just what kind of a player he is and how mature and what kind of a leader. So he's been everything that we expected him to be.
What do you ask of him over the next 2.5 months before October rolls around and the rookie tournament in Penticton, training camp? What do you ask him as an organization?
We want him to work hard. We want him to recognize the, you know, it's a man's league, that if you want to play in the National Hockey League, that you need to be strong. You need to be able to withstand the rigors of an 82-game schedule. And, you know, this is the opportunity to do that. There's tremendous opportunity within our organization right now. And that's what we're saying, not just to him, but to all of our guys, is recognize, and what we said to them candidly at our opening night meeting on Tuesday night, that recognize and seize the opportunity here. Don't leave anything in the locker room. Make sure that you're taking advantage. And it starts here, and then it continues in for those guys who will go to the rookie camp and go to Penticton and then into main camp.
Sean in particular seems to have a high level of maturity. This organization now, as you've candidly been saying, is rebuilding. There's really no face of this franchise. But he seems to be mature enough to handle the fact that he is a future, part of this team's future.
I candidly like the fact that there's no face of the franchise. I think that the face of the franchise ought to be the Flaming Sea, and the goal of the franchise ought to be to win a Stanley Cup. And that to me, the whole is supposed to be greater than the sum of its parts. And I don't care about individual superstars. I don't care about, you know, guys who, whatever the agenda, the only agenda I want is the Flaming Sea. We want guys who want to play for the crest in the front and not the self-aggrandizement of the name plate on the back. And, you know, that's something that I recognize that media and fans will certainly look to do to try to put that face. I felt bad for Sean this morning when I saw the paper, the face of the franchise, and looks like he's about to vomit, you know, on the bike ride yesterday. I didn't know that was the best way to portray the poor young man. But, again, you know, I think that we have a number of really good, mature young guys. You know, you look at a guy like a Sven Berchi, you look at a guy like Jankowski coming along, and a John Gillies. There are some good kids. So, again, it isn't about the face of the franchise, it's about the Flaming Sea.
Jay, sticking with Sean, I know you talked about his maturity. Can you talk a little bit about what has made him maybe perhaps more mature this year? I know that he's gone through some tough things, like the suspension, like not making the Canadian junior team, and how he responded to that. Did you guys take a look at all that stuff?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's, I think that just going through what he went through with his team this year, you know, you look at the situation for the 67s, that's a tough scenario for any team, and to go through that and to go through it in your draft year. And you know, I think there were a lot of times where he could have just packed it in and felt sorry for himself, but that's not his character. That's not what he's made of. And there's no doubt that I think every experience he's had this year, from the ones you cited, the suspension, not making the team, you know, we thought he handled that very well. He used that as motivation. And throughout the season, when he had times that he could have gone the easy route, he didn't choose that. So, again, he's a mature young man. I think it's a credit to the way he was raised, and it's a credit to his family, and we're happy to have him.
How do you describe the opportunity at center for Sean, and another player that comes to mind right away is Corbin Knight?
Yeah. All you have to do is look at the depth chart, and that's the great part about these kids. They're smart enough to do that. They're smart enough to look at the depth chart, and they understand. And I thought one of the things last year, we had a lot of guys playing out of position in terms of where they should be on the depth chart. Somebody's going to play as the first line center. It doesn't mean they're a first line center necessarily. And so I know that both of those young men, for example, they've looked at that and they recognize that there's a tremendous opportunity to make this hockey team.
How content are you with John Boudreau going back to BC again? I know he said education is so important for him. But everyone keeps thinking about what happened wherever that place is north of here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not concerned about it from the standpoint of do I think that he's going to do a 4 years of college and then wait until August 16th and become a UFA. I'm not. You know, we've had enough conversations with Johnny and with his family and with his family advisor that I'm not concerned about that. The big thing is that I think that we're getting to the point with Johnny where clearly, you know, it's fine to go back there now and play a year with his brother. But from our perspective, and we'll talk to him about it here, that, you know, we'd like to see him here. And I think that as we go forward, you know, there will be opportunity for him on the left side. And so, you know, there's one more year, and I don't think it hurts anything, but clearly we'd like to get him here sooner rather than later. But I truly don't, and that's, you know, I know that's what the fans worry about. I'm not concerned that he's going to college as a ruse for I don't want to play in Calgary. That's not the case.
Any update Brody at all in terms of
Yeah, I mean, we're talking. We've made offers on a one-year deal, a multi-year deal, and, you know, it's a unique situation for him from the standpoint that he does not have arb rights. That's candidly why Butler and Backlund got done when they did. Yesterday at 5 o'clock was a deadline. Eastern time was a deadline for filing for salary arbitration, and because there is that deadline, it tends to focus things a little bit more on both sides. And it's a goal and a priority to get Broad signed, and you know, we'd like to do it sooner rather than later, and we're pretty confident we will. The one thing that I did want to talk about was, I know I put our PR guys in a bad spot in that I said we needed to get the word out that we were not going to have numbers on the jerseys, because in fact, with the losses that we suffered at the Dome, I mean, we didn't have jerseys, and so I thought that our equipment manager, Mark DePasquale, Depot did a great job just getting the jerseys. And so we send out the press release, and Depot comes up and says, I forgot to tell you, I was going to surprise you. And he and Mike Garrity from Great Plains Cresting, he had asked him to be on standby, and so he was able to do that. I think we're going to have pinnies for this afternoon session, so the guys don't have to take the sweaters on and off. So, thanks a lot to Depot for that. It's everything he's been through to be able to have the numbers for our fans and the media. I think it's a great thing, and certainly to Mike from Great Plains Cresting. So,
last question for EJ. What are some of the intangibles that Corbin Knight does possess to give him a good shot?
Yeah, you know, Corbin is, again, he's a mature guy, and he's a leader. He's a very responsible player in all three zones. And that's what we like about him. He's good on face-offs. He can kill penalties. He's a right shot, which we don't have a whole lot of right shot centers in the system, let alone signed. And so, you know, again, I thought he stood out today in a very positive way. I thought he looked real good today. And he is. That's why we went after him the way we did, because we feel he has a shot to, you know, to earn a spot on this team.
You take a look at the Backlund contract. I know you talked plenty about in UFA looking at value signings, but did that strike you as a good value?
Yeah, you know what? It is from the standpoint that we obviously had done the work on what the comparables would look like, and as some of the comparables started coming in, it was a concern that, you know, this arbitration case could all of a sudden become a runaway train. And we'd been talking with his agent, and we'd had some parameters, and we were able to get that done yesterday. And, yeah, we're happy. But I think it's a good contract for him. I think if you step back and look at where he was before the 2013 season, you know, that's a good deal for him. But certainly I think it represents a good value for us as well.
Did that Subban deal, and not trying to compare the players, but just kind of that bridge contract for a young guy, maybe set the player up, but also good for the team?
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, that's where we are. Like, we, as we've talked about it, you know, that's, we believe that we need to be in those bridge contracts where, I'm not looking to do, for example, the Yossi kind of deal. You know, that's with Brody, for example.
Right.
And so it is about doing that bridge. And what's kind of interesting as it relates to, again, a guy like Brody is that because he doesn't have arb rights right now. So, you know, maybe we end up, if we can't come to an agreement on a multi-year deal, maybe it is a one-year deal, and then it puts him into a spot where he's going to have arb rights. And again, as I said, I thought that's what moved along both the Butler and the Backlund signings, was that right to arb.
So now what for Backlund? I mean,
he has 2 years, and he'll still be restricted at the end of this contract. He'll be 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. And what we're saying to Michael is, it's just like these other guys, you know, from Michael's perspective, and there have been various times where we've said to Michael, we expect you to be the first-line center. You compete for that first-line center, and that's what we want him to do now. Like, we want him to step up and say, forget, you know, Monahan, forget Corbin. Like, who, you know, I'm going to be, forget Stage.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the number one center iceman on this team. And as he's talked about, be responsible in all three zones, you know, be a positive, be a plus player, and So, it's time for him to make that next step.
What was different last year as compared to the year before? I know that you kind of you toyed with sending him to the American.
Yeah, you know what? I think a couple of things, or a few things. I think one was the fact that he played during the work stoppage, and I think as a result of playing, it really jump-started his confidence. And so he came in having played, he came in shape, he came in with confidence, and he came in with a coaching staff that gave him a clean sheet of ice. And I know that Bob Hartley personally worked with him on a daily basis, video, on ice, private meetings, talks, and I think he felt that. I think he felt that, hey, this coaching staff has confidence in me. They're using me in all these different situations, and they're going to give me the opportunity. And to his credit, he sees that opportunity.